Hello again, everyone. This is Gary Miller bringing you the good news of the coming kingdom of Yahweh. Well, the book of Revelations, as you know, is a very complicated book. I want to talk just a little bit about who or what is the beast with seven heads and ten horns. Now, before I get into the details of that, I want to make very clear that there's a principle of prophecy that is absolute. Now, this is one of the most violated principles of prophecy that you hear. Every time you hear a prophetic statement of some kind, invariably what you have is a violation of what I call the Peter principle. This is a principle that's laid out by the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter 1 and verse 20. You cannot compromise this principle and get the truth about the prophecies of Scripture. Here's what it says. Knowing this first, this is like square number one. This is elementary. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Yet what we hear invariably are private interpretations everywhere. Here's a crucial question. Does history or the Bible interpret prophecies of the Scriptures? Peter's statement could not be more certain. Biblical prophecy is unveiled by the Scriptures themselves. Prophecy opens Scripture, opens itself. Prophecy opens prophecy. So who is or what is the beast of Revelation that rises from the sea having seven heads and ten horns? And the names of blasphemy, Revelation 13, verse 16, Revelation 17, verse 3. Now, you no doubt have heard many times, many places, under many different titles and subjects, that it is identified, this beast, as a church, a country, a government, or even a kingdom. Very commonly, that's what you hear. Now, this beast also has ten horns, and these ten horns are often said to be ten European Union nations that will arise. And that's a different subject, but I want to concentrate on, for the moment here, who or what is this strange beast seen coming out of the sea? You know, actually, there's no need to look any further than Revelation 17, verses 9 through 11. Here the angel continues explaining the mystery of the beast. It says, the seven heads, already mentioned there, are also seven kings. Next, he reveals what the beast is. Now, there's, you know, really a lot of these things are not a great mystery if you just take the Bible for what it says. But if you go to private interpretations, you'll be chasing all kinds of tangential ideas that are not scriptural, yet people repeat them enough until people start to believe it. Here's what it says. He reveals what this beast is. And as for the beast that was and is not, he is the eighth and is of the seven. This is the 11th verse of Revelation, the 17th chapter. Now, the beast is the eighth what? The beast must be the eighth king. He's the eighth. Notice the Phillips and Lanza translations here. The beast must be the eighth king. Quote, as for the animal, the beast, King James Version, it is the eighth king. Now, this word king is actually king. It's the word from which the word kingdom is derived. The word is king, not kingdom. Now notice another proof of this. This beast king definitely has a throne. Now if he has a throne and he has a kingdom, he is not a kingdom. And that's what the scriptures are very clear about. Look, notice what it says here in Revelation 16 and verse 10. It says, the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat. Now, this word seat is throne. That's the Strong's Concordance 2362, if you want to check it. Upon the seat, which is the throne of the beast. The throne of the beast. And his kingdom was full of darkness. So, since the beast has a kingdom and he has a throne, then he is a king. Nothing could be more certain than this biblical fact. The beast is not a government, but a king. Though many identify this Revelation beast with the fourth beast of Daniel 7:7, claiming it must be a kingdom, all the facts really don't fit. When you look at that, you see the fourth beast Daniel saw did not have seven heads, though it had ten horns, and was not described as a leopard, as was the third beast of Daniel 7 and verse 6. and this beast of Revelation. There is coming truly an international figure, a great king, who will be worshipped globally. He has religious power of epic proportions, and he will enforce this as a one-world universal government. Now notice what it says in Revelation 13, verses 3 through 4. And all the world wondered after the beast. That word wonder is they were awestruck. And they worshipped the beast. This is a worldwide universal religion. Now, I know the Romans had their religion, and there's been a variety of different religions, but never a totally universal religion. So this is something that's going to happen in the future. This is a prophecy. Remember Revelations 1 and verse 3, it says this is a prophecy, the words of this prophecy. So this is something yet to come. So this much is certain. The beast is a king heading a one-world government who will regulate global commerce while being deified as a supreme avatar. Revelations 13, verses 16 through 17. Now let's keep this in mind. People that insist it must be a country or a government or a church, let's keep this in mind. Kingdoms are not worshipped. Men are. The worship of kings and rulers has many historical precedents. For example, Roman emperor worship is well known. The statue of Julius Caesar in the temple, Quirinius, had an inscription which read, "To the unconquered God." That's 45 BC. Pharaohs of Egypt were considered divine. Even Alexander the Great, the Greek conqueror, was worshipped as a deity by Greeks and ancient Macedonians. So we could list many more, but the list of deities and deifications of men is virtually endless. So it's hardly as surprising to find the beast depicted in a similar way. Now this beast king is going to be a formidable military person. The Bible says, Revelation 13 and verse 4, who's able to make war with him? Who uses great oratory? He's very persuasive. Maybe even charming. The Bible says in verse 4 there in Revelation 13, a mouth speaking great things. But we must not forget this person that comes, very charismatic apparently. I know some people obviously disagree with this being a person, but the Bible could not be more clear if you stick with what it says. That this is a man coming. He's going to be a king, and he's going to have a coalition formed of 10 nations, the 10 horns, and there's 10 heads, seven heads, a coalition of seven kings there, and those are identified in prophecy. But he's going to be of such influence and such persuasive personality that he's going to bring this coalition together into a one-world religious military juggernaut. But never forget, he's called a beast. He's called a beast. His very nature, the man behind this persona, is beast-like, ferocious. He's merciless, empowered by Satan himself. Revelation 13 and verse 2. He's deceitful. Revelation 12 and verse 9. He heads a totalitarian regime. Notice what it says in Revelation 13. 16 through 17. No man might buy or sell. Now that is an economic lockdown. He's a warmonger. He makes war with the two witnesses, Revelation 17 or 11 and verse 7, and also with the saints. So this coming ruler is going to be a one-world ruler. He's going to be an international figure. He's going to have a tremendous amount of political clout. And we don't know all the details of how he's going to pull this off, but we do know that he's going to be so persuasive and have such political and economic clout that he's going to form a coalition of, 17 kings. And this coalition is going to be very powerful. It's going to be composed of a variety of different nations, and these nations are going to pool their resources. And if you look further about the prophecies here, you'll find that this particular coalition is going to wind up fighting the Messiah, Yahshua, when he returns. It's going to be a huge military blunder on their part. But the beast is going to be powering this system. Now, the problem that you encounter here is, how can a person have this much influence? How is it possible to have this much influence? Well, it's very clear that the Bible says in one place here that Satan gives his authority and his power to the beast. That's what he does. That is, he's powered by Satan himself. He has this spirit of demonism, even though if you just look at him from a distance, doesn't seem like there's anything demonic there. But when you see what the person does, when you see what happens, you see that this person really is empowered by Satan himself. And that seems like a very strong statement. But Satan is very much alive, and he knows what's going on. I think he's obviously involved in many of the affairs. Remember when Joshua was tempted, Satan came to him and he said, "If you will bow down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this earth." All the kingdoms of this earth. So those kingdoms were Satan's to give. And he's going to come back under a different guise, so to speak, under the power of the beast. He's going to give the power to the beast. And this beast is going to produce a world-ruling government that's going to make the United Nations look pale by in comparison. So when you look at this prophecy, back to what we said, who was the beast and what is he? Well, the beast is a king, and this king is going to be a person, and he's going to be a huge success. He's going to make Michael Jackson look small. He's going to be a tremendous international figure. But he's going to head a conglomerate that's going to make many, many nations congeal, many nations come together to do his bidding. So when you look at it, the Bible interprets itself. Now, what I have not done, I've not gone to any extra sources. I haven't gone to history, and I haven't gone to secular history or even biblical interpretations by other people, because we don't have to, because the Bible interprets itself. It's of no private interpretation. No prophecy has to go to history to tell you what it means. And if you want to know who these seven heads are, you've got to go to the Bible and let it tell you. The Bible does tell you. That's another subject for a different time. But these are just some things that I wanted to bring to your attention here. That when you take a difficult subject like who is the beast, there's a way to solve that problem. And you can solve it relatively easily if you stick with exactly what the Bible says and let it interpret itself. Even so great a person as Isaac Newton said, the Bible opens the Bible. Scripture opens Scripture, and that's exactly the way we have to do it. So you need to get your name on the mailing list of the Insight magazine, published by the International Congregation of Yahweh. Our latest number of the Insight magazine has several topics. Clean and unclean foods talks about Mark 14, verse 30, sort of a difficult subject. The nerve of Zacchaeus, you need to read this one. It's really interesting. And then we have one on the 10 horns of the beast of Revelation. So this magazine is free of charge to all who request it. And you can get your name on the mailing list by writing us at ICY, Post Office Box 208, Pocahontas, Arkansas, 72455, USA. That's ICY, Post Office Box 208, Pocahontas, Arkansas, 72455, USA. You can contact us online at icyahweh.org. That's icyahweh.org. So until next time, this is Gary Miller, and I thank you for listening.